All right, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Saturday AM Live. Vance Rogers coming at you from a brand new office / guest room. It's one of four different guest rooms that we have made available to anybody and everybody that wants to come as a guest. You cannot live with us, but anytime you want to come to the Pacific Northwest and explore, this could be your base of operations. And this is the room, by the way, Mark, that you slept in last spring when you came for a visit. And you affirmed to the group that it's the room with the best view of the house, even better than in Stacy and I's bedroom. It has the best view of the house. And I'm looking out at snow-capped mountains right now as the sun's coming up, and it's absolutely gorgeous. But we're not going to talk about the view high atop Mount Rogers, as we fictitiously call it. Mark, I want to do a couple things before we get into kind of the meat. You and I started this conversation last spring, I think when we were on the chairlift skiing, about servant leadership. You and I had the privilege of being roommates during our 20th year of life, as I like to say. You were 20, I was 20. In a foreign country, it wasn't a bad place to live. It was fun, but we were jokingly talking about having no electricity. Didn't we go without electricity for a month?
Yeah, it was after Hurricane Gilbert.
Yeah, no water for a week and no electricity for a month. And we won't digress into all the stories of how we adapted and got really creative with candles, but your life since your college years, can you just kind of hit on some of the high points? And I know most people don't like to brag about themselves, but introduce yourself to the group. I thought I could tell a funny joke, because a lot of pastors and preachers do that, and they're usually stupid and corny, and people give courtesy laughs. But I kept thinking about this question. Pickleball, pastor, and PhD.
Well, I love playing pickleball for sure.
You know who I'm describing. So yeah. Tell us who Dr. Mark Anthony is.
Well, I was born in Michigan, raised in Ohio, and had the opportunity to get to know Vance in my college years, first in Dallas for a couple years. Then we roomed together in Jamaica. We couldn't be more different, but that's the beauty of friendships and community. We are all unique and have the ability to explore the beauty in others through relationship, and we certainly enjoyed our time together in Jamaica for a year. In the last 20, almost 24 years, I've been in the Atlanta area serving as a pastor, and I also have a K-12 school that I oversee. I'm the head of school there. And we have almost, just over 1,900 students in our school. And it's been the thrill of my life, Vance, to just have an opportunity to invest in this emerging generation. And I have thought that I have been young for a long time. And I realize that I'm the same age as old people now. So with that realization, having the opportunity to invest in this emerging generation is it's a phenomenal privilege that I get to embark upon.
You say that, and I'm laughing because my knees this morning, after being on the slopes last night skiing, they feel a little different than they did yesterday morning when I woke up.
Yeah, if only you knew of a product you could use that would help with some of the pain on your body.
If only, and see that P word, we're not supposed to talk about that. And you've been around the Neken products long enough to know that. Mark, talk about, because this is a I talked to your dad the other day, and people think I digress. Good golly, Miss Molly. I mean, and I kept saying, "Hey, Gary, can you come back to the topic why you called me?" And he's like, "Well, why did I call? I don't know why I called you." I'm like, "Oh my goodness." But when you were introduced, and I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but for the sake of reference, when you were introduced to the Neekin products, you quickly, if I remember correctly, you thought of your mom, who clinically, and I'm not making a accusation or a statement or anyway, but she, if I remember correctly, she was diagnosed with, was it chronic fibromyalgia or fibromyalgia and chronic osteoarthritis or something like that?
Well, she definitely has struggled with fibromyalgia for a good bit. That's something that is hard to define. It's hard to diagnose. And I can't even remember, Vance, when you had, I think it was over the phone that you had talked to me about the magnets and the Neekin products. And I remember you sending me some. I was living in Toccoa, Georgia, which is up in the kind of the foothills of the Smoky Mountains. I lived there for 7 years, but had visited mom and dad and just offered, I think it was just a back pad. I don't know what the products are called, but it was some kind of pad you put in the lower back. And my dad kind of made fun of it. Mom was very, very leery of it. And she was having a really hard time bending over, and before she knew it, she was putting something in the oven, and she didn't have the pain that she had been enduring for quite some time. And that was kind of a game changer. I still remember being in the car, trying to talk to a couple of other friends about it, and Dad was up front making fun of the whole thing, and thought I was just kind of Lulu. And now that's all he can talk about, and I make fun of him because I think he's Lulu. So anyways, it was kind of a fun time, a fun experience. I will say, you were talking about the water. One of the best things that I've been able to experience with a Neekin product is the water bottles. I've gone on a couple of treks up in the Himalayan mountains. And you don't have a lot of water available to you that you can guarantee is going to be clean for you. And so dipping that bottle into a stream and having the confidence that I can drink it without the threat of Montezuma's revenge or Himalayan revenge there in India was a great way to utilize the product. So I can attest to the fact that I've used that water bottle in a lot of different countries and have come out on the other side clean and healthy and thankful.
And you know, Mark, I we're going to talk more about this next Saturday when we kind of take an expose look at all of the current products right now that are driving sales in North America. But I learned that last weekend at the quarterly review, when our president mentioned that the number one product that we have right now in North America, the top selling product, is our home unit, the Waterfall. It's fantastic. It's very portable. We were talking about earlier, you don't have to worry about electricity. And Luis Casuga, our president, was talking about the fact that the closest one that's available on the market is a Kangen unit. It runs, the starting entry price is $2,000, $2,000, and you have to have it plumbed in and electricity and all that good stuff. But what was fascinating, he went on to say, and we're gonna digress into this next week, but I just want to highlight it, that the Waterfall, the immunity product called Immunity, affectionately named, because of what's happened in the last 3 years. We just passed the 3 year mark of when the world woke up and realized that if you have a compromised immune system, things are going to go south really quick. And if you get around other people with compromised immune systems, and we call it COVID, I'm just going to throw it out there. Don't freak out, folks. It's a real thing. But the immunity is our number two product. And then the third product, this blew me away, Our third product is the filters and the stones, the filter, sorry, for the waterfall. And those three products, the waterfall, the immunity, the nutrition, and the filter, they comprise 25% of total sales in North America.
Hmm.
And you talked about, and I want to go right back to this, you talked about, you used the words emerging generation. Well, how does emerging generation and 25% of sales go together? Well, let me just put this, and then Mark, I want you to talk about this if you can. Servant leadership, if the driving force in North America, that's the U.S. and Canada, are three products, and that's what people are interested in, that's what people are buying, that's where people are investing their money. You've got 1,900 students. You should. Did I exaggerate when I wrote that up, that you guys are the largest private school in the state of Georgia? Was that an exaggeration?
We're the largest Christian private school. There is
another private school.
Yeah, there is one private school that is the largest private school in the continental United States that has 2,700 students. We're the largest Christian private school. Yeah, in Georgia.
Okay, in the state of Georgia. Okay, so that's kind of a pretty nice accolade. the song goes through my, you know, the cheer. We're number one, not two, not three, not four, and Vance won't sing anymore. But 1,900 students, you used the term emerging generation. I've seen the little trick that, because you did it to Addie when you were with us. How do you relate, and not just to the littles, when you do your little magic trick with your tooth, but how does one in our mid-50s relate and serve your people, your leadership, your staff, your employees, and also reach all the way down to make an impact, to gain their interest, so you establish equity and put value into them? And it's not about you, Mark, but you're the one that's leading that. How do you do that? I think when
you talk about relating with people, and I think this can help whether you're a pastor meeting new people in the community or a head of school and you're trying to develop relationships with students in your community, or possibly, you know, we're in the middle of Black History Month, and one of the ways that I want to learn about my Black friends, neighbors, you know, those in the community is to ask questions, right? So, and I think that having a strategy to ask the right question is vitally important. And I think this goes to even when you're meeting new prospects for a network marketing company, this same principle comes into play. I never, ever ask someone what they do for a living. And the reason for that, Vance, is because that can be a very embarrassing response. They could have just lost their job. Then maybe they hate their job. Maybe they're embarrassed of what they do. So the question that I ask refers to their own story. Where are you from? Everyone is from a place, and that place is significant. And out of that place emerges a beautiful story of their life. And so if I'm talking to first graders, yeah, I sat down with a bunch of first graders yesterday at the lunch table, and we just laughed together as they were confounded that I still, as a 54-year-old man, have a baby tooth, as you referred to. And so that becomes a discussion starter. And then what happens is then I ask them about when they lost their first tooth, and then amazing the stories that emerge, right? And so yesterday I met with two of our high school students, and we began to talk after asking about their background, what kind of goals are emerging. One of our students, his dad is from Nicaragua, his mom is from Alabama. He just received a scholarship offer to be the punter for Georgia Tech, and he wants to be a civil engineer, and 32 on his ACT, but he he really has this goal of being a civil engineer and honoring God in everything that he does. And then there was a black girl that I interviewed for this podcast I do called Table Talk with our students. And she's going to Harvard in 2 years. And this beautiful story that emerges, but it starts with their background. Where are you from? And out of that creates an opportunity to discuss their full story. And I share quite often, whether it's with our students or with church congregants, that if I don't know their story, I really don't know them. And if they don't know my story, they don't know me.
You know, that's the epitome. My father, both my parents who've been entrepreneurial all their lives, I learn and I find myself doing and saying things that I said, you know, I never said I'm never going to do that because I don't want to be like them. No, I changed that a long time ago and said, man, how do I tweak what they're doing and build on it and make it better? But Dad used to always use the phrase, what do you do for an occupation? But I can see really quick what you're saying. Where are you from? He would always, Mark, he would always follow it up with, where are you from? What do you like? And I remember a lineman who played for the Los Angeles Rams, Art Moore from Dayton, Ohio, said after he sat on a cruise ship with my father for the, you know, hour and a half dinner, however long those things last, he said, Vance, I feel naked. Your dad knows everything about me. And, you know, that's the epitome of Stephen Covey's book, Seven Habits of Highly Successful People. And I don't know all seven habits by memory. I know number seven is sharpen the saw. Take time to sharpen the saw. That's an Abraham Lincoln thing. You know, if he was asked, if you only had 1 hour to chop down a tree, how would you do it? And he said simply, if I only had 1 hour to chop down a tree, I'd spend the first 45 minutes sharpening the axe. I thought, okay, that's good wisdom. But point number five is exactly what you're talking about. Speak first to understand, then seek to be understood. And I love the fact that you brought up the baby tooth, or I kind of did, but to feed you into that, because first graders, kindergartners, second graders, I met a little young lady last night on the slopes that was wearing Elmo gloves, and she's three years of age, and just the cute as a button. And her grandma was helping her learn how to ski. And then mom came in and we watched them over and over. And by the end of the evening, I looked at her and I said, hey, how did you and Elmo do? And she looked up and she was crying at that point because it was cold. She was tired. It had been a long day. And she looked up and the biggest smile on her face that kept talking about her Elmo book. Mark, what has been your greatest, let me ask it this way, 1,900 students, that's a lot. And you're talking about Harvard and these students going on to places. What has been the greatest thing that has hindered you from leading? Is there a greatest thing? And then answer this question on the heels of that. What has been the thing that has allowed you to overcome that as far as connecting with the people you're leading?
Yeah, you know, Vance, when, you know, you were talking about COVID, it was interesting leading a school through COVID. It didn't matter what decision I made, at least half of the constituency were going to be furious at me. And so I was either seen as someone totally ignorant, or I was seen as someone who was, you know, we've put on these tags on people, right wing and left wing. And I don't know if I shared this with you, but there was one week where I don't know, it had to do with maybe mask. And of course we're trying to follow, you know, the state dictates and all this thing. I can't even remember what it was, but in one week, I had three different people call me. They labeled me, right? We're really good at labeling people. And one called me a left-wing lunatic. The other one called me a Trumpster, right? I was just, and then another person called me an asshole. So I was, I don't know if you're even allowed to say this on this podcast. Sorry about that. You can delete that part, but really only one of them was right. It was probably the last one. But I found that, number one, I want to treat everyone with kindness and respond that way. However, if I lead by taking a poll or a survey, it will lead to chaos, right? I've got to be confident in the decisions that I make. If I take a poll from all my parents and say, hey, how should I lead in any given situation? It could be setting tuition, it could be doing whatever. I'm going to get 1,800 different answers, right? I've got to be confident in the decisions that I make. And so one of the things that I think makes my decisions a bit more palatable. You know, Paul told the church in Rome, do not think more highly of yourself than you ought, right? So I think there's times where even utilizing self-deprecating humor can always be helpful. I was talking to some of the students yesterday, letting them know that when I was in high school, because I get intimidated around some of these students, they're so sharp. But I let them know that I was in the top 10% of my high school class. I was in the top 10% of the lower third. And so usually it takes a couple of seconds for that to really connect with them. But all of a sudden, like all of these harsh feelings, these thoughts that I am living in an ivory palace, that diminishes. And now we're talking to one another on a human level. And if I can meet you without talking to you from a platform, I think I have a greater chance of really becoming and creating a sense of vulnerability in the conversation.
Well, Mark, just the simplicity of that, and I know you, and I love that response because there are certain buzzwords in our culture. COVID is one of them. If you mention the color black, I loved being interviewed. It was 3 years ago by a dear friend of ours who is a designer for Nike. He was the first designer, studied architects, but the designer. You might have heard of somebody like Federer. He plays tennis, another tennis mm-hmm. player, Venus and Serena Williams. He's the designer. He was the primary principal designer for what they put on their body, from the tip of their mm-hmm. toe all the way to the top of their head. That was what Wilson did. And news that Addie, our daughter, received for Christmas. I've never seen her weep like she did when she opened those shoes. But my point in bringing this up, as you mentioned, you know, black or COVID, there are certain buzzwords in our culture that ignite passion. And you're right. We can't take a survey of the people that we're trying to reach or we're trying to impact of all of them. But if we listen to what they're saying, again, and I want to go back to that again. Where are you from? What are your needs? How, if I just meet somebody brand new that's wearing Elmo gold, my goal is not trying to make an impression on her. I was really curious. You know, how her mom and her grandma and why they chose. And I'm looking, where are the men in this picture? why? Where's the dad? Where's grandpa? And I don't know their story. And I didn't feel right about asking that. I was just fascinated as a dad of three daughters, having the privilege of teaching all three of them how to ski. And the compliments that Addie got on the slopes yesterday, I went, oh, well, okay. I guess I did something right. You know, my goal is to bookend. But connecting with 1,900 constituents, I think you used that term. We do the same thing in our NECAN organizations with our people, our customers, our consultants. We really do have an obligation to connect with them. Last question is this, because I only asked for 20, 25 minutes of your time, and you're a very, very active person. Your dad fills me in because let's talk about maintaining, and I want to come full circle, and I don't want to focus on so much on the Nikon product, but you chose to, because we're not getting any younger, at both of us at 54, and there's people listening that are 10, 20, 30 years older than we are. Talking with your dad the other day, and he's getting ready to cross into the, whatever they call it, the 80-year club, and then there's the 90-year club, and then there's the centurion. Why pickleball? I'm really curious about that. Why pickleball? Because your dad says you do it every day, which I know is not true. I can't imagine you'd do it.
Yeah.
You'd play on Sunday.
Actually, I do play on Sundays, but it's not every day, but it's probably 4 days a week. There's a couple of things. One of the things that I share with our church congregation is I think they need to hang out with people who cuss. And there are a lot of cussers on the pickleball courts. And I say that to just use it almost metaphorically in saying you cannot just hang out with the same people and expect to impact a community. And I think that one of the things, not to make this about church at all, but I think one of the reasons why the church has been ineffective and being a healing conduit to a community is we have been very closed-minded and we develop relationships with only those on the inside. So I was almost forced into pickleball. I was a golf lover, right? And 2.5 years ago, I got this thing called frozen shoulder. And I had never heard of it and wouldn't have heard of it, except my wife had it for 2 years before I did. And I don't know, I must have caught it from her. But she was in immense pain from it. And then she's fine now and she's got complete flexibility. Long story short, I had a torn labrum and a torn bicep tendon and had surgery, and I still can't lift my arm above my head. So I can't swing a golf club. And I love being a part of sports. A big part of my life is I love to eat, and I have meetings all the time, and I eat the wrong things. Vance, you know, you're a lot more disciplined with your diet than I am. I'm waiting for the all-carb diet. People like to get rid of carbs. I love carbs. I could do carbs more than sweets, right? So I really need to exercise and to get out there and live a healthy lifestyle. Pickleball helps me with that. I can burn up to 2,200 calories playing pickleball in an afternoon or evening, and so it helps me with that lifestyle. I will say, you know, my mission for the year, I kind of put together a vision statement, and it's turning into really a life statement for me, and that is to develop and nurture a healthy rhythm to my life that allows me to rest in God and so that I can selflessly love my community. And, you know, whether one is living by a faith or a Christian or not, I think that kind of a mission still makes sense, that we still need rest, right? There, I think in the story of creation that he worked 6 days and then he rested the seventh. You ask people today in this culture, Vance, hey, how you doing? 98% of the people, right? And I'm obviously, you know, all stats, they say that 96.243% of the time stats are made up on the spot. So I just made that up for you. 98% of the people respond, hey, I am so busy. Right, because that's how we feel like we're significant in the world. I'm so busy, and so we work ourselves to oblivion, and we are very unhealthy people that are trying to do this life. And I know Vance and your wife Stacy, and all that you do. It's not about making money or acquiring things. I've been around you way too much to know that you really want to make an impact on people. That a part of your DNA, that you are made in the image of God, and a part of your calling is to touch people's lives. And I I share that vision to make a positive impact on society. And I think the only way I can really do that is if I develop that healthy rhythm in my life that includes, and maybe we could talk about this another time, this rule of life that I live by has to have a balance of healthy relationships that includes mentors in my life and mentoring others. It includes relationships with my family, but it also has this idea of rest. And rest is not just inactivity. It also can include physical activity, but it's a rest from what I do vocationally, and I need that break in my life, right? So I don't know if that's helpful to you at all, but for me to be effective in my life as I'm 54 years old now, I've got to have those seasons in my week where I'm able to be distracted from the pressures of working with God's wonderful people.
Well, Mark, I'm sitting here grinning from ear to ear and smiling because you're the one that brought up, maybe we could follow up on that. I would like that very much. And I know how long it took to pin you down for this conversation because you said it. We as Americans and the only people on the planet that are worse than we are, the Japanese, who are burning the candle at both ends and in the middle. We, the Japanese, used to lead all countries. They still lead all countries in, and these are real facts. I'm not making these up. Dave Balzer reported these to us months ago. The Japanese used to lead in longevity. They still lead in longevity, but it's quickly coming to a crashing halt. They're not sleeping 7, 8, 9 hours a night. It's more like 6. That's the average, and that's not healthy. And I find myself crawling into bed prior to 9 and reading or flipping on the TV, watching something for a little while. But more specifically, Stacey and I find ourselves reading, and Addie, the bouncing 13-year-old, is just gearing up. And we're looking at her going, and we end up yelling at her from our bed, go to bed. It's a school night. Your body needs to rest. So I asked that pickleball question because I knew it would bring out, I kind of had this hunch that it would bring out the balance thing. So if you tuned in late, if you jumped on late, Dr. Mark Anthony, has been our guest this morning, and I hope that you wrote down some of those nuggets. I know I did, and I'm going to refer back to them. But SaturdayAMLive.com is where we post the recordings of these conversations, and all you got to do is click on the 2023 recording. And maybe you know somebody that would relate to what Mark shared, or you just want to go back and listen to it again. So, Mark, thank you again so much. And I know that Julie and all three of your beautiful children, which, by the way, we don't have an Anthony Christmas card on our refrigerator. Was that on purpose, or did your parents decide to skip a year, or what happened?
I don't know if they did. I don't think they did one, and I know we didn't do one. So
okay, that's fine. That's fine. I know what you look like, so it's not a problem, but this 13-year-old is still talking about, almost a year later, this older, very tall brother that she never had, who took residence in her room. And that comes up all the time.
Well, you have a great guest house. I appreciate it, Vance.
So thank you again, Mark. I'm going to bid you farewell to get back into your active lifestyle.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, all right. Thank you.
All right.